Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It all starts with the feet. When we're born in the hospital, a footprint is taken immediately. Historically, it's been used for identification, but now it's really more of a keepsake for the birth certificate. Our feet become a way for us to touch our world. As we run through the freshly mown grass or step into the cold water of a mountain stream. Our feet are ours to adorn with toe socks, dress socks, athletic socks, chacos, and knock-em-dead stilettos. We're only given one pair, and they take a lot of abuse. Ask a marathon runner sometime how many toenails she lost during her last race. The pretty cool thing is that no two feet are alike, including our own. And you might be surprised, but feet are pretty important in the Bible. God tells Moses to take off his sandals because he is standing on holy ground. King David took off his shoes to mourn the death of his son. God commanded Isaiah to walk barefoot as a symbol of the exile that was yet to come. And when the disciples left a city which rejected them, they shook the dust off of their feet. Jesus and the disciples had been walking the streets of Jerusalem. And sandals were the shoe of choice at the time, but sandals didn't protect their feet from the dust of the street or the filth of living among so many people and animals. As a sign of hospitality, homeowners would greet their guests with a towel and water. Guests would normally wash their own feet to get them clean, and because it just felt good after a long journey. In some homes, a slave would wash the feet, and in special situations, an honored person would wash the feet, a sign of humility and gratitude. But Jesus, interrupting a meal with the disciples to wash their feet? Jesus? The disciples had just seen seven signs that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus had just ridden on a donkey into Jerusalem as a king, palms waving. How could the long-awaited Messiah be this man now, crouched on his knees, washing feet? Washing someone else's feet today can be uncomfortable, awkward, and embarrassing. On Maundy Thursday, it is considered by many congregations to be blessedly optional. And I actually saw on Facebook this afternoon a Lutheran worship service that was going to do hand washing instead of feet washing. But should feet washing be optional? Or is the point to seriously stretch us beyond our comfort zones so that we realize the absurdity of what Jesus did? The chapel at my seminary one Maundy Thursday was absolutely filled to the brim with people. And we filed down the aisles to one of the many foot washing stations that they had set up. And I somehow ended up standing in a line immediately behind my Old Testament professor. And we had just taken an exam in his class and walked directly from the exam into the chapel. And I had spent many, many days literally studying for his exam, and I was exhausted, and I was a little frustrated at the ridiculous exam that we had just taken. But before I knew what was happening, this man was on the floor in front of me, washing my feet. In 2016, Pope Francis, in the wake of the terrorist attack in Brussels, and claiming that actions speak so much louder than words, knelt before the migrants from Mali, Syria, and Pakistan and washed and kissed their feet. As uncomfortable as it might be, foot washing removes the barrier between us and another. Foot washing brings us face to face into an act of complete love and service, as Jesus did for the disciples and as we are called to do for each other. But you know what? We're not the only ones who may be uncomfortable with foot washing. There's always Peter, good old Peter. He's the disciple that I can relate to, always struggling to do the right thing and trying so very hard to understand. Jesus kneels to wash Peter's feet, and Peter gets really, really uncomfortable. Yet again, Jesus is not doing things the way that they are supposed to be done. Jesus doesn't fit into the box that Peter has made for him, the box of what a Messiah is supposed to be doing. And now he's wrapping a towel around his waist, getting on his knees and doing the work of an insignificant slave. And Peter asks Jesus, "Lord, are you really going to wash my feet?" And a second time, "You are never going to wash my feet." And since it always seems to take Peter more than a couple of times, he tries a third time. And this time he gets literal, like Nicodemus and the woman at the well did. And he says, "Jesus, if you're going to wash my feet, you might as well wash my hands and my head." Why is Peter pushing back so hard on this foot washing thing? Why is he so uncomfortable? Why are we? Can Peter not get over the fact that Jesus is acting out of character and doing the job of a slave, serving others? Does Peter think that everyone will stare at him as he removes his sandals and bares his feet? Is he embarrassed to have Jesus touch his feet and perhaps see the calluses or the bunion? Is Jesus crossing the line and getting into Peter's personal space? Is this really more about Peter asserting his independence? "I don't need you, Jesus. I can wash my own feet." Or is Peter afraid that he'll owe Jesus something for washing his feet? What stops us from letting Jesus or others wash our feet or care for us or love us? Despite Peter's questions, concerns, misunderstandings, doubt, and yes, maybe even embarrassment, Jesus washes Peter's feet. Peter, a man who doesn't understand what's going on and who will end up denying Jesus. Jesus also washes the feet of Judas, a man who will betray him. "The Old Testament professor washed my feet," a student in his class. And the Pope washed those whose feet have likely never been washed before. In the act of washing his feet, Jesus not only gets Peter's feet clean, but he gives his love to Peter, so that Peter too will know how to love. Without being loved, we cannot love another. Without being served, we cannot serve another. Without accepting the love of Jesus, we cannot know God. And it's really, really important to know that this foot washing thing is not just another generic call for us to be nice to our neighbors. If it was, why would Jesus bother to get on his knees as a slave and wash the dirty, messy feet of the disciples? Why would Jesus let himself be executed if he only wanted us to be more kind and caring to each other? This love is so much more. When he washed the disciples' feet, Jesus revealed the relationship that he has with his Father. The relationship between Jesus and his Father is a relationship of love that is unexpected, crazy radical, and against all societal norms. Love with no limits, no boundaries, and no restrictions. Love that is a gift with absolutely no strings attached. Love which offers itself in death all the way to the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. This is the kind of love that Jesus models for us, love to both receive and to give. And Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Do we? Do we know how to accept the love of Jesus and then love another in the same way that Jesus loves us? Will we wash the feet of another in our faith family? The homebound, the sick, the grieving, the lonely, the stranger? Will we wash the feet of those who come to team each month for a bag of food and a few items of clothing? What about those who sit on the street outside the community kitchen and wait for a meal? Or those who receive the quilts that we make? Will we look into the eyes of one who looks different, smells different, understands relationships differently, even perhaps worships another God, and then reach out and wash their feet? It is only after we wash feet and let our feet be washed that we can understand Good Friday and Easter Sunday.